Church, you guys happy to be together this morning? We're definitely having some great worship so far. It's been incredible. And what a great song, right? Jesus, Lord of all. And as disciples, we have all pledged Jesus is Lord of all in our lives. Amen? You know, it's so encouraging when we see somebody make that pledge to God, right? And this past Wednesday night at our campus midweek, we were able to see Andre Grant from William Patterson make Jesus Lord of his life. So encouraging to see people making Jesus Lord. You know, last week we had a great sermon by Larry about going through times of trouble. And even through times of trouble, Jesus is to be Lord. Amen? Jesus is to be Lord of all. And this morning I want to talk about a major area to make him Lord in our lives. We need to make Jesus Lord of our feelings and emotions. Does that sound good? You know, just like everything else, Jesus needs to be Lord of our emotions. Lord of my emotions. Mine personally, but for you, the my is you. You know, 'tis the season to be jolly, right? But with the holidays, a lot of other feelings can come around, right? Frustration, irritation, anger maybe, and lots of different things caused throughout all different seasons of life. And I hope that the things I share this morning will help you through the various feelings that come with winter break and the holidays and all of that. And I will give a disclaimer that I am in no way attempting to fully cover this topic of emotions, okay? I'm not even going to touch helping other people with their feelings and emotions. We're just going to deal with you and me and ourselves and Jesus being Lord of my emotions. Amen? You guys with me? Cool. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, this passage calls us to not be conformed to the patterns of this world. You know, the world tells us to shape our lives by our feelings. You know, do what feels right to you. Do what makes you happy. You know, the world tells us to be conformed to our feelings. You know, a challenge with that last one, do what makes you happy, is that you don't know for sure what will make you happy until after you do it. You don't always know how you're going to feel until after you do something. You only think you know. But what we can be sure of is that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. So if we live according to God's will, we will find something that is good, pleasing, and perfect. You know, another passage, Colossians 3, 5-8 in the Message version says, be content like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff, and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. You know, you don't want a life shaped by doing whatever you feel like. You want a life shaped by God. Right? Feelings are fleeting, but God never changes. We can trust God, and we can't always trust our feelings. You know, we need to know that although feelings are very real, what we are feeling might not be. Does that make sense? You know, feelings don't always correlate with truth or with what's best and what's right. And to be honest with you, I'm glad my feelings don't cause truth, right? I'm glad my feelings don't dictate truth. Because if every time I was home at night and I felt creeped out, someone was in my house, there was, that would not be good. You know, if every time, you know, you felt, you know, something that you were afraid of, it became true, that would not be a good way to live. You know, I'm glad that something I'm feeling doesn't always make it true, right? So our feelings don't dictate truth. They don't always mean that that thing is actually true. But seriously, how many of us have made decisions based on our feelings and later, when the emotions were gone, realized that was not a good idea? We've all done that, right? That it wasn't a good idea, or it wasn't even what we really wanted to do or say. I didn't really want to say that. I didn't really want to do that. You know, or we felt very strongly and passionately about something, that it was true, and then we're just proven wrong. You know, that's happened with me before, with my mom plenty of times, arguing with her about something, that I felt so passionately it was true, and I was wrong. You know, I'll never forget this one evening that we were hanging out together in our living room, and I don't remember at all how this got brought up. But we started arguing about whether or not if you took a plastic container and threw it on the ground, it would shatter. And I felt so sure that it would not shatter. I was like, no, it would just bounce, you know? Like, it's plastic, it won't break, you know? And my mom was like, it will definitely break if you throw it hard enough. So we're arguing back and forth. And I'm like, fine, I'll prove it to you. And I get up, I go to the counter, I take out a container, put the lid on it, and I threw it on the ground, and it shattered in tons of pieces. And I was just like, oh, I guess you were right. Now I owe you Tupperware. You know, I felt so passionately it wouldn't break, and I was wrong. You know, your emotions and feelings will not always lead you to the truth or towards what is good, pleasing, and perfect. But God's will. Amen? You know, before I move forward, I just want to say a couple other things about emotions. Feelings are not inherently bad or wrong. You know, we are made in the image of God. We have emotions. God has emotions. You know, that verse said he was about to explode in anger, right? The Bible records Jesus crying twice, and Hebrews says he did often. God has emotions. We have emotions. You know, all emotions, I would say, are either good, bad, or for the most part, depends, right? Most emotions, it depends. You know, there are things that should make us happy. There are things that should make us sad. But a lot of things, it depends what you're feeling and why you're feeling it, whether it's right or wrong to be feeling. But I do want to say that the focus of this whole lesson this morning is that the goal with our feelings, the goal with our emotions, is to make Jesus Lord of them and to align our feelings and emotions with God, right? To be happy about the things that make God happy, to be upset about the things that make God upset, and then to be neutral about the right things as well, right? Because there's some things that really are just, it doesn't really matter. You could feel how you want about that. You know, it doesn't matter if bacon or sausage makes you happier with your pancakes. That's up to you, and that could vary from person to person. You know, I get a lot of advice from Larry, and I remember one morning when I was single, I was making breakfast, and Larry and I are texting, and I said something like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to make for breakfast, pancakes or French toast, and I don't even know why I said this to him, but he wrote back, well, brother, some things you have to decide on your own, you know, and it's true. It's like, all right, I need to decide myself. Right, but we want to align our feelings with God. Feel the good things he does, feel the way he does about things, and feel neutral about the right things as well. And I do want to say, thankfully, whatever you're feeling, God cares what you're feeling. You know, whether it is the right or wrong thing to be feeling, David expressed a lot of feelings to God, some of which were probably not the best feelings to have. But God listened to him, and he was able to express that to God. Psalm 34:46 says, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. You know, we're told to never hide our feelings from God. We can go to God with whatever we're feeling, and he will listen, and he will care. And then he also wants to help get us out of that spot. Amen? Because the goal at the end of the day, Romans chapter 12 that we read, is to be transformed into Christ in all things, including our feelings and emotions. So I want to talk about essentially a three-step transformation process, if you want to call it that, of making Jesus Lord of our emotions. This is kind of also three options you have of making Jesus Lord of your emotions. So you guys want to make Jesus Lord of your emotions? Okay, here's three options you have in that and kind of a three-step process to do so. First, you can choose to obey God over your feelings. And then you can try to change your feelings to God's feelings. And within that, obey as well. And lastly, you can initially feel what God feels and obey as well. And we're going to talk a little bit more about each of these. And I do want to say that each of these is what it means to love God with your emotions. And I believe that as we are transformed more into the likeness of Christ, we will grow from doing number one to number two to number three more frequently. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I do think we were given feelings and emotions as another way of giving God glory. And this is an area of our lives we could choose to give God glory and honor in by making him Lord of our feelings and emotions. So the first one here, choose to obey God over your feelings. So this is when we feel like doing something that is not God-honoring, we decide to obey God even though we don't feel like it. Even though we may feel like doing the complete opposite. You know, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 and chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And chapter 5, verse 3 says, "This is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome." You know, the Bible teaches that loving God is not just a feeling. It is a decision, an action to obey him and to believe the truth. So even if you're not feeling like doing what is pleasing to God, you can still love him by choosing to do what pleases him. You know, and in that, you might think, you know, but then my heart's not behind it. Is my heart, should I do that? Is my heart not behind it if I don't feel like doing it? And I think that's a little bit tricky. You know, I think that emotions are an expression of the heart. And emotions might be a sign of what's in your heart, but emotions are not exactly equivalent to the heart. You know, just because you don't emotionally feel like doing something doesn't automatically or necessarily mean that your heart is not truly behind it. You know, maybe it's just your current mood or feelings that's not behind it. You know, Philippians 1 verse 9 says, "This is my prayer, that your love may flourish and that you will not only love much, but love well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush." You know, this is the Message version, but it's helpful. You know, I do see that feelings and heart overlap, but are not exactly the same. You know, you can in a moment, although you feel something, you can ask yourself honestly, although I'm feeling this now, what do I really want to do? Although I'm not feeling like this, what do I really want? What do I really believe? To find out if your heart is behind something. You can examine yourself, engage other faculties like your faith and your mind, and then see what you decide. You know, this shows me that your heart is not only your feelings. Does that make sense? You know, you've got to use your mind and your faith to decide that as well. You know, an example. You know, it could be the evening and, Chelsea is going to go put Bradley to bed. And she could come to me and say, Rob, could you please do the dishes while I put Bradley to bed? And I'm sitting there on the couch comfortable, right? And then she leaves to Bradley's bedroom to put him to bed. And I decide to stay sitting there because I'm comfy and I don't feel like doing the dishes. And then she comes back out a little bit later and I say, you know, sorry, Chelsea, but my heart just wasn't behind it. I wasn't feeling it. You know, the truth is I might not really feel like getting up and doing the dishes, but I can in that moment engage other faculties like my mind and my convictions, my faith, and get up and go do it and believe that my heart was behind doing that. Because I didn't just base it off my feelings, but I thought, you know, Chelsea works so hard all day. I love her so much. She deserves me to get up and do these dishes. And even though I don't feel like it, my heart is behind this. And I'm supportive of getting up and serving in this way. Does that make sense? You know, what I've found is that sometimes the proper emotions and feelings come during or after you do the right thing. You know, and then you get up and you do it and you go, wow, I feel like a great husband now. And then she comes out and she's not mad because you didn't do it, you know, and that feels good too. And so the right feelings can come after we choose to obey. You know, the Bible says that when it comes to loving God, actions speak much louder than words. God is loved by obedience. Right now, there are plenty of people meeting in churches around the country and around the world crying, saying, Lord, Lord, saying, I love you, Jesus. And then leaving the church that morning and living a life in blatant disobedience to God. Lots of feelings during the church service, but very little actual love for God. And I think we need to make sure that that is not us. Amen? We need to make God feel loved today by having feelings and emotions towards Him, but even more so by obeying Him and how we live our lives. We should have a stronger level of obedience to Jesus than to our feelings. That's deep conviction. That's having a heart for God. Amen? You know, Friday I was looking over my lesson here and wrapping up writing it, and Chelsea comes to the room, and I said, hey, Chelsea, can you read my lesson for Sunday? And she turned to me and said, you know, I don't feel like it, but I can. And I was like, that's my lesson. You know, that was it right there. It's willingness, right? Okay, I don't feel like it, but I'll do it because it's the right thing to do. I thought that was really funny. I was like, that's my lesson, Chelsea. You know, I'll say this in closing on this point. As much as feelings don't automatically equal your heart, feelings are something to take seriously and not just write off or ignore, right? Within our obeying over your feelings, I will say that if you keep feeling negatively about the same things, that might start to be indicative of something bad that's in your heart. Something bad that's in your faith and convictions, not being behind it. You know, there are times it really is just our current mood or our current emotions. But feelings can be a symptom of something going on in the heart. So if there are aspects of discipleship that are often just begrudging obedience, then you have to examine yourself because something may be off in your heart or in your faith or in your convictions. And if so, don't give up. Don't ignore it. Get help. Turn to God. Make Jesus Lord and start to grow in that area instead. So when we feel like doing something that is not God-honoring, we decide to obey God anyway. And in that way, we can make Jesus Lord of our emotions. Amen? Amen? Secondly, change your feelings to God's. And within that, obey. So when we feel something that is not God-honoring, we obey God, but we also change the way that we feel about it. You know, and this could be hard to do. But I do think this will help you pass raw obedience to actually becoming more like Jesus. From just doing what He would do to becoming who He is. You know, we'll never be exactly like Jesus, and there will always be times that call for raw obedience. especially when we have little time to change our attitude in the moment of decision, right? But the goal is transformation into Christ. So we don't want to just obey, we want to change as well. You know, so say you're in a situation, and for this point, I'll just give an example. And something unexpected happens, or something triggers you emotionally. And, you know, for example, let's say somebody in here or a close friend of yours totally drops the ball on something that they really committed to helping you with. And maybe it's not the first time that they've done so. And now it's a week later, and they come to you asking for help. Right? You'd have some emotional temptations there. Right? You would probably have some negative feelings towards this situation or towards this person. And I will say that whether you got resolved or not, which you should have, you have a choice here. You can move in the direction of your feelings and make your feelings Lord. And that could lead to you slandering that person in your head, feeling bitterness towards them, maybe even choosing to say no and not to help because you don't feel like it or want to because of what they did to you. Or point number one, you can decide to just begrudgingly obey, which is better than just disobeying. But maybe you'll go and you'll just serve half-heartedly, right? And I will say this, within all of that, are the feelings real? Yes. Are they understandable? Yes. You know, I would say some of the feelings may even be justified and might make sense to feel that. You know, is what they did to you now okay? No, it's not okay what they did. But Jesus is your Lord, not this person, not your feelings. So outside of this person alone, because of God, you choose to serve, right? And secondly, you believe that God can transform our desire for bitterness into desire for benevolence in this situation. So we've got to actively decide in situations. This is a choice. We have to choose not to navigate situations with our feelings alone and choose to allow God to transform us and obey Him instead. Because if we don't make that conscious choice, we will most likely, by default, be shaped by our feelings and emotions. Because our feelings and emotions very easily just take us where they want to go. So we have to pause and choose to obey God instead and to try to change our feelings to align with His. So what can you do? Psalm 119, verse 11. Oh, that's not up there. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what you want to do is find a scripture that has to do with forgiveness, has to do with serving somebody, scripture that has to do with bitterness, and read it, pray it, meditate on it. Get that into your heart. And that could help change you from just raw obedience to getting your heart and desire behind going and doing it. But the scriptures can help to transform and change us. You could pray, talk to God about it. You know, really listen to Him. Listen to it. Think through this with God. You know, pray for the Spirit to control and transform you from the inside out. Right? God, help me to want to serve this person. God, help me to forgive this person. Help me to be excited and joyful about going and serving this person. You know, and the Spirit can transform us into producing the fruits of the Spirit instead. You know, and I'll also say, to think about this person apart from this situation. You know, think about how God feels about them. Think about good memories you share, not just this bad one. You know, think about times that they didn't fall short. Maybe think about times you did and people still stepped in and helped you. You know, was it while you were righteous or a sinner that Christ joyfully died for you? You know, gratitude for the cross and all that God's done, it'll get you every time, right? We've got to go back to the cross to change our feelings in these situations. So through this, hopefully you've moved in the direction of being more like Jesus in your emotions as you decide to obey. This is emotional surrender, right? Making Jesus Lord of our emotions and submitting to God what we're feeling and giving to Him our bitterness or our anger so that He could give back to us from the Spirit peace, love, kindness, and these different things. You know, there are times that we don't have enough time to process and go through all of this. And I will say, you've got to really make sure that you don't just default respond to this person out of your emotions, right? You know, the Bible says fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. In Proverbs 12:16, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. You know, if you don't have enough time to change your attitude, at least default choose to obey God over your feelings and not respond out of these negative feelings that you've got going on. You know, we do want to really make sure that we're processing and taking that time to make sure I'm not letting my feelings be my Lord here, but I'm letting Jesus be my Lord. So when you have a feeling, a thought, or a desire, think, is this of God? Or is this of me? Or is this of Satan? And you want to always guide yourself back to God and aligning yourself with Him. Amen? So in closing on the second point, when we feel something that is not God-honoring, we obey Him, but we also aim to change those feelings to be what He's calling us to feel. Amen? Lastly, feel what God feels. Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You know, and that's what point 2 was talking about, is changing to become that. But as we keep working on that and we're growing and becoming more like Jesus, you know, we're hoping to arrive in a place where, as we're trying to become more and more like Jesus every day, we may, in some moments, initially, by default, feel the way Jesus does already. Does that make sense? Changing into His likeness, you know? So this is where, in a situation or about some subject or something going on, we should aim to initially experience the emotions that Jesus would about this. You know, as I said earlier, we'll never be exactly like Jesus, where every day, every situation, we're going to just automatically feel the way He would about it. But as we keep working on things in our life, we can grow and we can change to be more like Him, so that we will initially respond the way that He does. You know, we want to love what God loves, hate what God hates, feel the way He does about life, feel the way God does about people, feel the way God does about certain actions, and then our obedience follows. You know, in making Jesus Lord of our emotions, we should aim to become more and more like Him in this area, just like any other. We feel what He feels, producing the fruits of the Spirit. You know, a feeling that I've been working on being transformed in a lot is impatience, right? And impatience is a feeling, it's also an action, right? And I've been working a lot on being transformed. God, help me to be patient. And I will say that this is especially brought out in traffic, bad traffic. You know, and I've prayed about it a lot. I've prayed for patience. I've made many choices to be and to act patient, although I did not feel it at all on the inside. You know, I've memorized passages that have helped me with this. And not long ago, I had a wow moment as I was sitting in some especially terrible traffic. You know, really late to where I was going. And it all of a sudden occurred to me, Rob, you're not feeling frustrated and impatient right now. And you didn't have to fight to get there. You just don't. And I was super encouraged. I was like, this is transformation. I'm growing. I'm becoming more patient. You know, this is a situation I would naturally respond automatically with feeling impatient and frustrated in. That's transformation. You know, in this area, I still have a way to go. It's not like since then I've never been impatient in traffic again. But we're growing, right? I hope to keep aligning myself more with Christ to immediately have His peace and patience rather than my turmoil and battle for patience in these moments. You know, we can transform to be more like Jesus so that we default feel the way that He does about things. We see things His way right away. We respond emotionally that way, the way that He would as well. You know, this is the Spirit producing fruit and transforming us more into the glory of God, right? The truth is, we, as we follow Jesus, we really can and we really do change who we are. God really is transforming us, sanctifying us. You know, in closing, I want to ask you, are there any areas right now in your life where how you feel about something and how God feels about it are not on the same page? Are there some ungodly feelings that you need to change? Or maybe are there some things that you need to feel more passionately about that God is passionate about? Maybe some areas you just need to go, you know what, I've been really apathetic in this area, but God is passionate in this area. You know, it might be indignance and needing godly sorrow about some sin in your life. You know, maybe you've just gotten used to some sin after years and years, but you need to have some indignance and godly sorrow about it. You know, maybe you need to have some eagerness to reconcile in a situation with your spouse or with a close friend or with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. You know, maybe you need to work on some feelings you have towards material possessions. You know, attachment and desire to things of this world and to money. You know, you need to reflect, am I a cheerful giver that loves to give generously and sacrificially to contribution? Or do I not have good feelings about that? You know, how do you feel about the lostness of the world? Because God is hurt and heartbroken every day about the lostness of the world. Jesus looked at his city and he wept over it. How do you feel about the lost in your town, at your job, in your life? Do you mourn with those who mourn? Do you have compassion for the hurt and suffering? You know, we all need to look at ourselves and see areas that how we feel about things don't align with how God feels about them. And we all can leave here aiming for our actions and our feelings to match God's in these and in all areas. Amen? We've got to grow in our godly EQ, transformation more into the likeness of Christ in our feelings and emotions. You know, as I said at the beginning, our feelings can be a good thing, right? But they can often also be terrible guides and get us in situations and places we never wanted to be. So I don't encourage you, don't live a life shaped by feelings. Live your life shaped by God, because his will for you is good, pleasing, and perfect. Choose to be someone who truly loves God and obeys him over your feelings. Choose to change your emotions to align yours with his. And then continue to keep being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ, so that you, in all situations, in all areas, can grow to more and more have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. You know, I hope these things will help you with your holiday. I hope that these will help you to have a holly jolly Christmas, right? We've been given so many things to be joyful for, so many things to be grateful for, so many things to be excited about. As disciples, we have so many things to be passionate about and to live passionately for. Amen? So let's all leave here today determined that we will make Jesus Lord of our emotions. Amen?